السلام عليكم.
Spoke to many issues which affect our lives. And
But we have been blessed with by Almighty God, honor the one esteemed on it. He will straighten out not only our individual lives, but he will straighten out the total society. You see, Islam speaks to the total man. It speaks to the total society. It speaks to the totality of conditions which affects our lives. If we listen to them, brothers and sisters, and make them our daily practice, it will solve the ills that beset us as individuals, as well as the ills that beset society as a whole. The aim of the World Community of Islam in the West, under the guidance of Imam Walid Muhammad, is to restore the purity of religion. If the purity of religion is restored, then the dignity of humanity is restored. For religion is the strongest influence in the lives of the people. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad teaches that whether we like it or not, we are dominated by religious ideas. And we are unconsciously directed by religious behavior. If you don't believe that this is true, make a study of man's greatest achievements, the things that have done the most good in the lives of people. Can be traced directly or indirectly to the influence of religion. We're not talking about so-called religion. We're talking about true religion. You see, much which goes in the name of religion is not true religion, it's superstition. I just want to recall something that I read in the latest issue of Bilalian News. And brothers and sisters, this is the greatest paper on earth. And everybody should be reading it. And that we who have committed ourselves to do the job of helping Imam Wallace D. Muhammad should see to it that everybody reads the Bilalian News. That's right. I read there where he addresses himself to the common disease. He said that in this article, in essence, the common disease which afflicts all people is the disease of moral decadence, moral decay. Dope is a moral problem, brothers and sisters. Dope addiction, alcoholism, illegitimate birth. These are moral problems. The ever increase of the divorce rate, that's a moral problem. Killing, vandalism, that is wholesale destruction of property, wholesale destruction of human lives. This is a problem, this is a moral problem. Terrorism is a moral problem. The ones who are responsible for the moral breakdown of society is not the government, the chief imam teaches. But is this the religious leaders? Those who claim to be religious, is that right? Who have failed to come to and stay out front to protect the people. And as much as we know that is the problem, we must stand up and get involved. Is that right? Involved. If you do not thank you very much. And at this time, I give way and bring before you Treasurer Hawk, who will make his report. Thanks for the money. Is the messenger of Allah. As-salamu alaykum. We thank you, Ma'am James, Sheikh James Abdul Aziz Shabazz, for those words that I think we need to adhere to. My report is really some announcement, firstly, to those on the hookup. So I want to explain this to you very briefly. It concerns all the mosques who are on the hookup concerning our zakat. The Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad has given permission that all mosques are contributions donated by members of your local community or outside of the community of your particular mosque should be distributed in the following manner. This manner of distribution has generally been followed by most of the mosques. We want to make this announcement before we send out a letter to you explaining it in detail. One third of the total zakat that is collected at your mosque will be sent to Elijah Muhammad's mosque number 2 by the 10th of each month. The total collected for the period ending March 31st will be sent to Chicago, as I said, and received here at number 2 in the treasurer's office by the 10th of every month thereafter. Two-thirds will be left, shall be put in a savings account at a local bank of your choice in your area. We would like for all of you to send us the names of the signees on the account, the address and name of the bank, and account number. That's concerning the cap, and we will be sending you a letter out very shortly, in the next couple of days. The other is the national debt. Now, we have come before you many times this year, or last year, and this year, asking that we all contribute to the national debt, which is a world community problem and not just a liability on mosque number 2. So last year, with permission of Imam W.D. Muhammad, we devised a way to get some funds from each and every one of us. As you know, $2.55 per week was asked of each of us to give to this national debt. Now, some of us responded and some didn't. We have collected so far, up until our survival day, which we asked everyone to try to contribute before survival day, $132.43 apiece on this national debt, which is over $3 million. We've collected so far $65,000, which is not very much when you think of $3 million of current debt that needs to be taken care of. Now, I've said to you before, I think that we should take care of this debt. We should not wait for funds to come in from foreign lands to help us with something that we can do ourselves. Now, this $2.55 should be put on every mosque listening to my voice on your charity or donation slip or envelope. A standard deduction of $2.55 for every world community member. We should want to take care of this national debt. Now, some of you have already taken care of it. Some have taken care of part of it. Some have given nothing to help the world community to rid itself of this tremendous debt that we have. Now, I think that if we put it on the charity slips, it will help tremendously. So we want that cap should be sent to Chicago, one-third of the total collected in your mind. Two-thirds are kept in your mind in a bank account, a savings account, and you want to send us the account number, the name and address of the bank, and those who are signing on that account. Now, under the cap, the Honorable Wallace C. Muhammad asked us to give us permission to assess all believers, this was his direction, 2.4% of their net or take-home pay for zakat. That is a minimum. Those who can give more should give more in the name of Allah. They should give all they can to help to propagate Islam all over the world community. So that 2.4% is a very minimal amount that we should give. Those of you who do not understand, we can take $100. If you multiply your $100 times 2.4%, you will quickly come up with a figure of $2.40, which will give you some idea as to how much you're to pay. Whatever your take-home pay is, multiply that by the 2.4%, you come up with exactly what your contribution should be. Everybody should participate, and we pray a lot that you will, and that the response will be tremendous, especially on the cap and the national debt, which is all of our problems. The properties that were purchased here in Chicago from our contribution, when we gave the funds, we didn't think about the upkeep or the taxes or anything else about it. We just gave it, we purchased it, and I think most of us just thought it would take care of itself, but it won't. We got a tremendous liability in real estate, and the mortgages are heavy, our debts are heavy, and they didn't just come up since the Honorable Wallace C. Muhammad has been head of the spiritual head of the World Community of Islam, but it was prior to his coming in. These debts were tremendous even before he came in, and they haven't increased. These are just some of the ones that are coming out more and more every day. So we hope, okay, Allah, you got something out of that. The local announcements I will give a little later. So bear with me now. There's one more announcement I need to make. Because of the reduction in size of our school here in Chicago, as far as students are concerned, we have a couple of buses that are available for sale. I think these buses are 50 to 60 passengers. Anyone on the hookup who would like to purchase one or both of these buses, which may run about $18,000 or more, can contact school principal Clyde Alameen. Also, we want to remind you of a great day that's going to be coming up this coming July the 4th, 1977. The name of that day, named by the Chief Imam, the Honorable Wallace C. Muhammad Imam, will be New World Patriotism Day. He says that this will be a day of feasting and building truth and merriment. So look for that. With that, I bring my announcement. Imam Sheikh Shabazz, I greet you. As-salamu alaykum. We want to thank Sergeant Huff for the report, because as I repeat again, we have to be reminded of our financial obligations, and also to remember that charity, zakat, is the third principle or the third pillar of our faith. So now at this time, while you are in the mood for giving, we want to bring the charity pails so that we all can, this is one thing that we all can share in. Isn't that right? When we stand up here, and of course we naturally, we are, I feel, you know, that it is conversation between us. But this is something we all can get actively involved in, because we know that we just heard from the treasurer our financial status. This is something that we can situations that we can do something about it, then let us do it. Don't go around complaining and making excuses, criticizing and so forth. That's easy to do. Whenever we see a condition existing in our midst that we don't like, let's do something about it. Then we are living our religion. Remember, our holy book, the Quran, teaches us that no people will change their condition unless they change it themselves. So you see how simple it is? If you don't like the conditions that are now or presently existing, do something about it. It is not an individual problem, it is a collective problem, and we all have to get involved together in it. Now, don't forget there's the Cadillac, a yellow Cadillac that is blocking the one of the areas around there. Let's see, what's the light? Consultation board here at Mark number 2 to give us him. And I quote the words of Honorable Walazi Muhammad. I, for one, will not rest until I have done everything in my power to make his truth seen, heard, and recognized in the world. Those are the words of our leader, our teacher, and our guide. And certainly, you and I have seen the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad over the last 2 years do exactly that. He has gone into the streets, he has spoken on radio, he's been in the prison houses, he's been in the schoolrooms, he has been in the churches, and he writes without let up in our great paper, the Malayan News. And he has articles in other papers around this nation. So we know that he has been on his job. Now, if we, those of us who refer to ourselves as Muslims and followers of the Honorable Walazi Muhammad, are for real, or if we are sincere, when we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad, or when we say, Honorable Walazi Muhammad is the majestic, the reviver, the renewer, the restorer for the world, then we too will do just as he is doing. See, he is a model, he's a God. And he has brought to us the perfect guidance in the Holy Quran. And he has made Prophet Muhammad to live in our midst. And so we therefore have no excuse for what you and I should be doing today. We should be filled up with the fire of that we have received the good news and desire to spread that good news. Many of you may recall the days of our youth from our mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, about how they felt that they were supposed to spread their religion, tell everybody about it, the good news that they have gotten religion. But unfortunately, they did not have it, but you and I are blessed today to have it, and therefore you and I should not sit and rest without our spreading the good news. Surely we have some good news for the world. And we have good news for ourselves right here in this land, here in Chicago, and all over America. And we should not rest until the whole world knows that you and I have received the good news. We thank Allah for the Honorable W. Muhammad. We thank Allah for blessing us to come into the realization of his last prophet, Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon him. Indeed, brothers and sisters, the task, the job of exalting and spreading the word of Allah requires a group of workers who fear Allah and Allah alone, who are filled up with the fire of desire to follow the law of God without consideration of personal gain or loss. Certainly a handful of such men, such minds, are more valuable for this purpose
which would not only help to wipe out the debt, if all of us who are able to do that did it, the debt would be wiped out. It would be eliminated, you see. So we pray a lot that each of us will resolve within ourselves, will examine ourselves and see what we can do more in order to project and carry this work forward here in this wilderness. As a matter of fact, let us all think in terms of what we can do immediately. And then let us see what we can do within 30 days. In other words, by 30 days, we should be able to show ourselves and show those around us that we have the desire, not only that, we have the spirit, we have the know-how, we have the inner compulsion to improve the circulation of our paper, and see to it also that we can and will participate in the elimination of our national debt. So let us do all within our power, following in the footsteps of Honorable Wallace B. Muhammad, so that we can wake up on tomorrow and look ourselves in the face and into the faces of our children and in the faces of our wives and husbands and our relations, and let them know that we have enough interest in ourselves to solve our own problems by simply putting forth a little bit more effort in the name of Allah, in the name of the greatest of all gods, He who was not born and He who will never die, He who is tired not by slumber, nor is He tired of being concerned with you and me. Assalamu alaikum.
We thank Dr. Shabazz for that excellent the excellent way in which he treated, you know, the problems, you know, that we're faced with. At this time, brothers and sisters, we have a special report from our attorney, Brother Saad Al-Amin. Not only is he an attorney at law, he is a brother, a concerned brother, and one who loves to get involved. So it is my pleasure at this time to give way and bring before you Brother Saad Al-Amin. Assalamu alaikum.
In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, peace and blessings upon His servant and messenger, Muhammad forever. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Assalamu alaikum. I don't usually operate from the rostrum, more from the courtroom. But the rostrum and the courtroom are very similar places of advocacy, because here we advocate the word of God. In the courtroom, we advocate the need for justice, for fair play, and for mercy. So I feel somewhat at home up here, even though with the illustrious Imam behind me, I'll try to make this as quick and as painless as possible. Brothers and sisters, we have chosen voluntarily to organize ourselves into a community. This community, the world community of Islam in the West, is what we have decided to organize and form, both as a place of worship, to practice and propagate Islam in the Western Hemisphere, and also as a place to govern our lives, to govern our everyday affairs. Unlike the church in the Western civilization, our community is a community which is engaged in a 24-7 for our propagation of the faith. We don't deal with our faith merely on Sunday or Saturday or Friday and forget it the rest of the week. We engage in the propagation of Islam and in observing the tenets and principles of Islam 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And in order to do this, we must, in organizing ourselves, develop a governing body to regulate ourselves. Any community, my brothers and sisters, which calls itself a community, must have a governing body. Now, we have, over the last 2 years, experimented. We have attempted to engage in a number of forms of government. All of them have been successful, and all of them have been evolving to a point at which the perfect form of government would finally come to pass. As you know, in the first resurrection, we did not have a government as such. We had Imam W.D. Muhammad came along and he liberated us. He liberated us into the great Magna Carta of liberties and of self-government and of self-rule. He brought us out of the rule of one man into the rule of all men. And in order to do this, we had to develop a structure in order to govern ourselves. Now, I'm going to, for a few minutes before we get into the announcement, attempt to trace the history and organization of government in this country for a very particular reason. Because, you see, the United States of America presents to us, my brothers and sisters, an object lesson on what not to do in government. What not to do in government. And since this country has become the world leader, it has taken its values, its whole idea and modus operandi of dealing throughout the world. It has disrupted traditional societies and communities. It has destroyed even some of the bastions of Islam itself in the Middle East. This is a very powerful country. It is a very menacing country. And its government is mainly responsible for what it does against humanity. And so we must, in structuring our government, not make the mistake that this man has made in the development, formation, and operation of his government, because he says this is a republic. That's what he says. He says, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. He says that this is a democracy, and this is a place where the majority rules and the minorities stand behind the post. Well, we've been a minority in this country for 400 years. We have stood behind the post for 400 years. As a people, and now as the chosen people of the world, we're about ready to come out from behind that post and show America and the rest of the world where it's at. Ourselves. Before we can go out and tell the mercy, truth, and justice to the world. Now, that's no easy task, because for the last 1,000 years, this world has been on a cataclysmic course. Cataclysmic course against God, against nature, against human rights and human dignity. And they have a habit of dealing that way. And those habits are hard to break. And so we must be very sure before we leave this structure of the world community of Islam into the other larger community that we have our stuff together. Because if we don't, they're going to say, well, what are you trying to say, brother? Are you telling us to do what you say or do what you do? Because we heard the white man, the Caucasian, tell us about brotherhood, but we don't see it practicing it. We see hypocrisy throughout the highest ranges of government. We don't see the reality of justice in terms of that government. Now, why are you all going to come in here and add to that? At least the white man has been doing it. Now, you niggas going to try to come in and try to imitate him. So we have to have our government straight. We have to be behind the government that our leader, the Imam W.D. Muhammad, prescribes for us. He has the knowledge, we have the will. He has the knowledge, we have the will. He has given us the knowledge, but we have been lacking in the willpower to carry out some of his mandates, some of his principles. Because, see, we are chosen people, but some of us act like we don't want to be chosen people. You see? We want to come kicking and screaming into Islam, and after we get here, we want to put our shoulders to the door and say, now that I'm here, you know, no more room in the inn. You understand? No more of that. No more of that. Now, when we deal with our government, let us take a look at the historical development of government here in the United States. When the first pioneers arrived at the shores of what is now called America, around the time of Plymouth Rock, they came here with one overriding reason. That is to practice religion and to have the freedom to practice religion. They came to subdue this country, the wilderness, the resources. They destroyed some of the people in this zeal and this effort to establish religious freedom. But like every community, they decided to form a government. Now, in a governmental structure, what happens is that the individuals in the society give up part of their individual rights and liberties to the government so that the government may exercise those for the benefit of all of the constituent persons in the government. But what happened here was a strange thing. Some Jacobites, devious mind, slipped around to the folks and said, look here. Now, in order for you all to really have freedom of religion, we suggest to you that you separate church from state. And they said, wow, that makes sense. Because their experience was in Europe that where the state was involved in the church, the state attempted to prevent the church from existing. And they said, now, if we separate church from state, then we can be assured of freedom of religion. And that's why we left Europe to come here and deal with Indians and snakes and cold and wilderness. So since we were successful in that endeavor, then let us separate church from state. And as it was said, it was written in the Constitution of the United States. that is the fact that you have a law, the supreme law of this land, which states that no state shall interfere with the right of the freedom of religion and the expression of religion. And everybody thought, this is good. This is fine. But little did the people know that this Jacobite mind, which was at work deviously and insidiously in the community, was not separating church from state for the purposes of freedom of religion. It was separating church from state for the freedom of the government to operate without the influence of religion, which was morality, justice, and truth. Now, the people didn't really understand what they had done until very recently. And they saw it in Watergate. Now, before we go into that, though, there's an allegory which many of you may not have really thought about, but is very appropriate in terms of what government does when the people either go to sleep or are put to sleep. The allegory is the story of Frankenstein. Well, you know, Frankenstein was a monster. And he used to dip around in the dark, according to the film, and destroy people. But looking at Frankenstein from its allegorical analysis, you will find something like this, and I will try quickly to go through the story. Dr. Frankenstein, who was a Jacobite, Stein, S-T-E-I-N, now understand, I'm not being anti-Semitic, I am being against those that are against God. And so if those who are against God just happen to be Semites, that's the way it is. Dr. Frankenstein decided that he was going to build a man. He was going to construct a man. And so what he did was, as you know the film, he went around and got parts of people from the grave, right? And he started to put Frankenstein together. Now, the part of the grave represented dead people, which represented the community whose intelligence and understanding had been killed by leadership. And so Dr. Frankenstein got his little humanoid together. And look at this now. You remember that Dr. Frankenstein's house was on a hill. Mountain. Government. And the people in the village lived down in the valley. All right? Remember that. Now, Dr. Frankenstein, now the people didn't know what was going on up in Dr. Frankenstein's house, because he was busy concocting this thing without the knowledge of the people. But the people, you understand, now listen to this, the people could see some things going on up there. Because Dr. Frankenstein had created this great big wheel which was put in his millstream to create electricity. Because when you understand, Frankenstein finally came to life with a surge of power of electricity. And the folks said, I wonder what Dr. Frankenstein needs all that power for up there. But they continued on about the business of taking care of agriculture and just doing their work. You know, when Dr. Frankenstein had finished constructing his humanoid, the humanoid was much bigger than the average human being. Again, government being bigger than the people. Then he said, I must now bring this thing to life. Now remember what I said when I said that in government, people